1 hour of hockey talk to kick off your afternoon. This is Hockey Central at Noon, only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Here's Giordano to Reinhardt, rink wide, Bodie winds and fires and scores! A howitzer by T.J. Brody from the top of the far faceoff circle, and finally the Flames put the puck in the Oilers' net and take a 1-0 lead.
That was the only goal yesterday at the Scotiabank Saddledome as the 2014 preseason is underway. Calgary takes a 1-0 win over the Edmonton Oilers at the Dome. But on the other half of their split squad game yesterday at Rexall Place in Edmonton, they fall 3-1 at the hands of the Oilers. But the game that we saw, at least the game that I saw, was the game at the Dome. I know a lot of people were kind of split screening and watching both games. So lots to talk about as we welcome you into your Monday edition of Hockey Central at Noon, as we welcome you to one of our homes away from home. Adrenaline Source for Sports will tell you why we're here throughout the afternoon, but we can tell you that this is one of the partners for the Calgary Hitmen, and as the 20th anniversary season is underway for the Calgary Hitmen, wanted to come on down here to Adrenaline to kind of publicize that and get the word out on that. But I only saw the one game yesterday in terms of preseason action. Your typical preseason affair, I think, in terms of sloppiness and all that type of stuff. But lots of talking points coming out of it and lots of positive things that we can get into. As we welcome you to the program, we also welcome the color voice of the Flames, Peter Labardius, to the program. Mr. Labardius, your impressions of last night's preseason opener?
I thought there was some really, really good moments. I thought the game lagged, frankly, in the back half of it. And I will say this about the preseason, which was reiterated to me and in my travels, Pat, of covering the game. Hockey people have always said, be careful in the preseason in how quickly you want to evaluate both good and bad. Because hockey people will say, and I've heard them even recently, go, with a lot of your veterans, don't even watch. In many ways, don't even watch. Because you know that their meter and their intensity in a lot of cases isn't going to be what it's going to be in a couple weeks.
Right.
Let's be frank. But it is, again, it's about evaluating your prospects. And what I'm really starting to enjoy with this franchise is options and assets. And I, with every passing day, am feeling a little bit stronger about seeing more players within this organization that I think have a chance to be NHL players. And the more of those that you have, the better you're going to be and the quicker you're going to be better.
So, and can we consider Sean Monahan a veteran on this team? Is it too early to consider him a veteran?
I don't think so. I don't think it is. He's not going anywhere.
Because I want to talk about him, but you said don't even bother talking about the veterans.
No, it's okay. No, you can ask. Hey, listen, veterans are a big story. They're a really big story, and it's a good thing that it's a big story, especially players like on defense battling. So sure, we can talk, but this is still like a young man who's 19 and won't be 20 until the 12th of next month. So is he here to stay forever? Absolutely. Is he worth talking about? Yes, because he's changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. I mean, you really enjoyed the way he played last night. You actually named him the first star of the game. And just your overall thoughts on what we saw from Monahan last night and how he has changed in your eyes.
I think he's changed physically. I've never been worried about him. He played in the National Hockey League last year because his ability to think the game at a very high level and how mature he is what allowed him at a very young age to process everything and be very effective. He scored 22 goals in the league last year, the fourth highest total of any first-year player and rookie in the entire National Hockey League. But in this conference, Pat, in the Western Conference, with some of the game's premier centers who are big, strong people, highly skilled to deal with, what I saw last night is I just saw someone who's probably added 10 or 12 pounds of muscle. He's a year older. He's still continuing to physically become a man. Let's face it. And when you're going up against men and the best men in the world, it's going to build your confidence. You're going to feel a lot better about yourself. And I think, frankly, and we touched on it on our post-game show last night, I think because of it, he's going to start to win some more battles. He's going to be harder to take the puck away from himself. And in the end, for someone who's going to be, I think, a terrific player in the league for a long time, it's going to make a big difference.
I guess for me, I mean, there's no doubt about it. He looks like a bigger and stronger guy. And I'm curious now as to how that translates into him getting more scoring opportunities and how, you know, you mentioned it early in the first period. He turned to me, I think, in the first commercial break after he had his first real good opportunity where I think Victor Faust actually made the stop on that one. He missed the net a few times in the first period, but Faust actually made the stop. And you said, I don't think he's able to get that separation last year because he just looks stronger, more imposing, and he backed a couple of defenders off and was able to get a shot away. So that's what I'm curious about, is to how his, you know, how this increase in strength, how this increase in size is able to translate into him gaining more space for himself, and if that means he's distributing the puck a little better because there's more space, or he's getting more scoring opportunities for himself.
How many goals, Pat, are scored in the NHL from about 3 or 4 feet away?
Oh, a very, very large number.
So if you can continue to get stronger physically and put yourself in better positions, and in his case, if it means with some extra weight and strength and more explosion, that you can get even half a step on someone now to get to the inside to win more battles for loose pucks, what's going to happen? I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to end up with far more scoring chances than you've had. And that's why, by and large, you know, outside of the odd exception, and he is an odd exception, he scored 22 goals in the National Hockey League as a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
That's not easy to do on a team that, you know, and I'm not being critical, but isn't overly blessed with phenomenal offensive weapons around him. So I think we're just, again, just seeing the start of Sean Monahan. And the thing about Sean that I like, forget about everything from a physical standpoint, he just strikes me as a very determined person who's constantly studying and always examining and pushing himself on an everyday type basis to get better. And whether it be Sidney Crosby, Jonathan Toews, and the great players in the game, Pat, in many ways, outside of being blessed with superior skill, what puts those gentlemen ahead of just about everybody else in the sport, I believe, is their will to be better every day. Look at the Flames captain. I think he's a great example. I remember last year having a chat up in the press box with Dominic Pettis about Mark Giordano. And at that point in time, he said, what is really special about Giordano is in every practice, in every workout off the ice, this guy on a daily basis is trying to be better than he was the day before. And you know mm-hmm. what, Pat? That's easy to say. That's easy to want to be that kind of person. But for a lot of people, it's not easy to drive yourself that hard all the time.
Well, and my take has been, over the last little while, that, you know, you take a look at 22 goals from Monahan last year, I think that you might see that total go down a little bit in a sophomore year where there's more attention paid to him, so on and so forth. But I think as he continues to evolve as an all-round hockey player, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever if his point totals go up this year. And we talked a little bit about this in the Hot Stove Lounge last night. So I'm curious, is knowing that sometimes a sophomore year can see a dip in points, and sometimes it's tough to equal what you did in your rookie season, what are realistic expectations for Monahan this coming year?
Have to see, first and foremost, the type of people he's going to be playing with. That's
right.
Always really important. Pat, I expect the point totals to go up. So if last year's number was 34,
mm-hmm.
I expect him to be in the 45 wheelhouse this year. Minimum. I really do. I just think being bigger, stronger, knowing the league, feeling better about himself for all those reasons, having been through it once. Although there's always the chance when you do so well early. That's why I talked about what I did just a couple of moments ago. I think you can fall back at times, and I've seen it at every level, Pat, every level in the sport. When you think it's going to be easier the next time because of your prior year accomplishments, that's how players fall back. Even at the junior level, I can't tell you over the years how many times I've seen a guy, you know, really find himself, if you will, at 17 and have a really good year and get drafted and maybe get drafted in the first two or three rounds, goes to a pro camp, comes back, and what happens? He struggles for a couple of months,
right?
Because you think it's going to be easier. That's how you fall back. And that's why I don't think Sean's going to fall back. Even though I do, I agree, there'll be more attention. You know, he's probably potentially going to center the top line, especially if Michael Backlund's, you know, injury woes continue. And you certainly hope that's not the case. But that's where Sean's headed anywhere. Anyway, he's going to be the number one or two center of this team. There's no question about that. So you're right. He's going to find himself in tougher defensive matchups. But I just think his maturity is going to help him from staying away from, you know, any kind of major slump. I'm not saying he's going to go from 34 to 64, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he goes from 34 to, you know, 45 or 48.
Well, no, and to clarify, I don't think he's going to take a step back. If his goal totals go down and his overall point totals go up, that's a good thing. Like, if he's in the 15-25 range as opposed to 22-12, I think he's being a more impactful player. And I really... And I could see that happening, or 18 and 20 or so, 18 and 25 or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, maybe the goal totals go down a little bit.
In his 3 years in major junior, Patty, he was a more pass first, always had more assists than he had goals.
Yeah, I think his highest goal total was 33.
Correct.
So that wouldn't necessarily be a huge shock. I mean, 22 goals in your rookie year is great, but, you know, 12 assists, I think he would probably say he's probably looking for a little bit more balance in that regard.
Is he going to be more impactful?
In my eyes, yes. Even if the goal totals go down, I think he's a more impactful player. I think he's
and
a guy
so
who's impacting the game for 200 feet more than he was last year, and he did a pretty good job of doing that last year.
And remember, Pat, and people forget this, right, because we all get caught up in numbers. Even your ability to be impactful means that potentially, because of how hard it is to play against you and the attention that other teams have to pay to you, can also open the door and allow somebody else's point totals on a second or third line go up because of it. So the way people impact the game can't always be in direct correlation of just, you know, goals and assists.
Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting conversation, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Sean Monahan in his sophomore season. Really good opening preseason game yesterday, but again, the preseason, tough to evaluate anything good or bad in the first game, but he did look very on point yesterday. Peter Labardius is with us here as Hockey Central at Noon continues live from Adrenaline Source for Sports. First time seeing Johnny Gaudreau play at the Saddledome. We saw him play three times in Penticton, and you saw him in Vancouver in April in his NHL debut, but now his NHL preseason debut looked just fine, if you ask me.
I think he always will. I really do. He's too smart, Pat, even again this morning. And in many ways, the two scrimmages that just concluded here at Winsport a very short time ago were equally as intense. As a matter of fact, I'd make an argument they were more intense than what I saw on Saddledome ice last night. I know that might sound strange to people, but these guys understand what kind of battles that they're in terms of ice time and you know, earning a position in the organization. So I've been really impressed with, you know, the six scrimmages that I've seen over the last 4 days, and that held true again this morning. So in Johnny Gaudreau's case, I would say this about Johnny. You want the puck on his stick as often as it can get there, because when it gets there, your chances of creating something in the offensive zone are enhanced. He finds people, Pat. He creates space. Mm-hmm. He sees this sport, frankly, at a different level than a lot of players, and even a lot of good players. So now how does he cope with the one issue that he has, dealing with big, strong people? But I don't see whether it's even, you know, in second-team power play scenarios, how he is not going to have a chance to add to your scoring chances on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's going to take some time in the American League. I don't know. But it's fun to go to the rink and watch him. I know that. Because he's going to make plays. And he makes plays flat out that I would suggest that maybe 70 or more percent of players, even regular good NHL players, don't make.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, nothing changed for me in terms of how I see it playing out. I still think Johnny Gaudreau starts the season in the National Hockey League, and I still think that he is one of the nine best forwards on the team right now, and nothing changed in watching him play yesterday. He was just fine. I mean, he had a number of scoring opportunities, was very good in tight space as per usual, didn't really have any issues with his 200-foot game or anything like that. As much as I think that that's the biggest thing he's going to have to work at the NHL level, didn't have any problems with it yesterday. So yeah, nothing changed for me when it comes to the status of Gaudreau.
I heard Bryce Van Braben say in an interview to you the other day, and I feel pretty strong about this. I think in many ways for college players, and it's not a knock on college hockey. So again, let's not get off on that tangent because everybody knows my love of junior. But the schedule is different. So that's a factor over a long term. But as even Bryce said, you know, an ex-college player now, that in a lot of ways, what did he say? It's a lot of, you know, it's kind of getting up and down and the game's, you know, going in 100 miles an hour. Even when I watched on television a couple of games this year in the Frozen Four, the one thing I didn't see that I do see at other levels is structure. And I've
right.
watched that game enough over the years, Pat, to understand, you know, why some players would struggle. It's a different game. It's a very up-tempo, you know, offense-oriented type of game. And yet, if you can't play a 200-foot game at this level and be really responsible and be good in structure, you know, unless you are beyond belief talented, you better pay attention to those kind of details. And I think sometimes for college guys, that's in many ways a bigger transition than it
right.
can be at the major junior level.
In conversation with the color voice of the Flames, Peter Labardius, every day here on Hockey Central at noon. Anyone else maybe of the less established nature kind of jump off the page at you last night? I know that you were talking a lot about Brett Kulak throughout the evening.
Besties look. The Vancouver Giant, who was tied for eighth among defensemen in scoring last year in the Western Hockey League with 60 points, saw the ice pretty well, stick was good, and I think playing with Derek Englund, who I was really impressed with, and again, a veteran, first preseason game, split squad, but I think playing with Englund really helped Kulak feel comfortable, and I thought maybe at times in Penticton, and I get it, everybody's like this, we're trying to impress, and when you try and impress a lot of times, Pat, what happens? You try and do too much. But I like Brett's game a lot and felt much better about my evaluation when we sat Ryan Huska down in the hot stove lounge and he wasted little time when we asked him those questions. He
yeah.
liked both Kulak and Culkin, and I thought they were both much better. And here's a guy I can't take my eyes off since Penticton started, Garnet Hathaway. And again, is this guy going to be a big point producer someday at the NHL level? Do I even know he's going to play in the NHL? No. But, Pat, he is in the mix constantly.
Yep.
He skates well. He drives to the net. He plays with absolutely no fear. He's hard to play against. Does he have a ton of offensive upside? No. No. Do I foresee this guy ever as being someone who, you know, would even potentially score you more than 8 or 10 goals down the road? No. But I think he is going to be a pretty good American League player for Ryan Huska this year. I get that sense. I can't take my eyes off of this guy. Throws a huge hit late in the game last night on Boyd Gordon. I like how he skates. He's got a great motor. He's been one of the big surprises for me since this whole camp and whole experience began a couple of weeks ago.
Kind of a busy stretch, hey? I mean, they practice today. They'll practice again tomorrow at the Saddle Dome. Oh, and then they play 3 games in 3 nights and 4 games in 5 nights. So, holy cow.
And in different places.
Yeah. Like, they're not even doing – there's no back-to-backs at the Saddle Dome or anything like it. They're in Sylvan Lake, then on the Saddle Dome, then on the road. Like, holy cow, this is going to be quite the run for the Calgary Flames in the preseason.
I'd do a game every night if somebody would allow it. But this week in terms of preparation and different players and trying to find lineups and, you know, the travel back and forth in cars and planes and I won't be surprised actually because of the amount of games. Take the weekend, for example, Pat, and I don't know this. I haven't seen the exact details yet. But, you know, generally, in normal circumstance, you would go to Vancouver – even this time I understand they might go on the game day and potentially even fly back to Calgary the same night because you're probably taking another group to Colorado for the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
So you play 4 and 5, you know for sure you're not playing anybody right now in back-to-back situations, certainly not your veterans.
Yep.
You're not doing that right now. You're not going to put them in bad travel scenarios to get tired. And the last thing you want is anyone tired right now, because when people get tired, they get hurt, or you expose yourself to that possibility. So, yeah, this is going to be as grueling a stretch in many ways if you're involved in all of it.
Yeah.
That anyone would find between now and, you know, come April 10th or 11th when the regular season comes to a conclusion.
Well, yeah, and I mean, nobody's going to be involved in all of it, but at least on the ice, but still a busy stretch upcoming for the Flames. And if you're Bob Hartley and that coaching staff, there are going to be plenty of opportunities for you to evaluate here over the next week. Lou, we will see you at the Saddle Dome tomorrow, and maybe you and I can have a live chat in the Hot Stove Lounge on Hockey Central at noon.
Possibly. We'll do the show together tomorrow, that's for sure. Have a great afternoon.
Bye, Lou.
Bye, guys.
There's Peter Labardius, who joins us every day on Hockey Central at noon. To me, that sounded like he probably has somewhere to be, and we're not going to do the show live in the Hot Stove Lounge, which hurts, but I understand. Next up for the Flames is Kraft Hockeyville on Wednesday. It's actually a 5 o'clock start, which means our Flames warm-up from Sylvan Lake is going to go at 4 o'clock here on Sportsnet 960. The fans of the Coyotes and the Flames from Sylvan Lake for Kraft Hockeyville is the next preseason game for Calgary, and that comes your way on Wednesday. Pat Steinberg along with you, as your Hockey Central at Noon Monday edition continues. And your question of the day, Labardius and I talked about it a little bit right there, and I'm very curious as to where you fall in on this. What are your realistic expectations for Sean Monahan? Because, you know, Lou and I talked about it. I got a text already in, and I want to expand on that and more as we move on through the program. But I think we might see some of those goal totals drop a little bit. Consider this. Sean Monahan's shooting percentage was at 15.7% last year, and the average NHL shooting percentage is around 9%. So he was 6.5% higher than the NHL mean, which is good, and some guys are just capable of shooting that high, and maybe that ends up being what Sean Monahan is for his career. But knowing what history tells us, most guys, even really good hockey players like Monahan, most guys will see that shooting percentage regress a little closer to the norm. Now, if we were to end up seeing Monahan shoot at around 10 or 11% career-wise, wouldn't be a surprise, but I do think those goal totals go down, but not all the way, like not a total regression from what, you know, the NHL mean would be in his number of shots and what he shot last year. Because I do think he's going to shoot more. I do think we're going to see Monahan end up with more scoring opportunities this year. He had 140 shots on net last year. If he's up in the 180, 190 range this year, wouldn't be a surprise. So I'm thinking more around 18, 19 is realistic for what we see from Monahan this year. Where I really think, and I don't think that's a bad thing, by the way, because I really think we're going to see a bump in his assists. I think if we're talking him around 40, 45 points when it's all said and done, that'll be pretty realistic. We'll wait and see. Could be dead wrong, but that's kind of where I've fallen in the entire situation. But what about you? 960-960 on text, fan960@rci.rogers.com via email. What are your expectations, realistic expectations, for Sean Monahan this season? We can get into that conversation throughout the hour here on Hockey Central at noon. There are some rather interesting challenges the Calgary Hitmen are facing early this season. We'll tackle that with their general manager around the corner. We're live from Adrenaline Source for Sports for the Calgary Hitmen. A little bit later on today, some Hitmen players are going to be here. In fact, between 4 and 6 o'clock, a number of Calgary Hitmen players and, even better, Brad Curl going to be in the house here at Adrenaline Source for Sports, signing some autographs, shaking some hands, getting the awareness out for the Calgary Hitmen. That's what we're doing at Adrenaline. That's what the Hitmen are doing a little bit later on Hockey Central at noon. Continues after the break on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
If it's on the 200 by 85, it's right here first. Calgary's home for the National Hockey League. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 listeners win free stuff. Flames, Hitmen, Roughnecks, and Stampeder tickets and more. Fan Club members get to enter to win some really neat prizes.
If you're not a Fan Club member, you should be.
If you are, keep collecting points.
The secret seats come your way at 7:25, 9:25 a.m., and 1:25, 4:25, and 9:25 p.m. weekdays. Get the seat number, enter, and collect points.
Use those points to enter to win some really, really great prizes just for being a listener to Sportsnet 960. Brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar.
Watch every CFL and NFL game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, Sportsnet 960.
At Driving Force, we look after your next used car, truck, van, or SUV. A windshield with a crack or chip, we replace it. Brakes worn more than 50%, we put in new ones. Tires worn more than 40%, that's not good enough. You deserve new tires all around. Get a 3-month, 5,000-kilometer warranty and our exclusive 30-day trial, all at Driving Force. Corner of 23rd Avenue and Bartle Trail Northeast, or online at drivingforce.ca.
It's midway through the fourth, and your team is in field goal range. It's fourth down, but they're going for it. These are the moments that define the game and the sport. Thanks to Bodog.net, these are the moments you're made for. Bodog.net gives you live odds and props on every game, even after kickoff. No matter the down or the distance, Bodog.net will make sure you always have that extra edge. Bodog.net, your source for sports odds and free poker and casino games.
Welcome to Auto Value's Car Chat. Today we're talking to Megan.
Jimmy, every time I start talking, I can't stop. Last week when I was at the grocery store, this girl dropped her magazine. It had a picture of Bradley Cooper, and I was all like, he's so delish. Then I bought a grapefruit that day.
Whoa! I can't stop your motor mouth, but I can recommend the full line of Perfect Stop brake products from Auto Value. Pads, rotors, calipers, the works. All ready to install right out of the box.
That's awesome. It reminds me of when...
And we're out of time. Till next time, stay classy, Alberta.
Did you know the rental market in Calgary is hot? If you require attentive professional property management, relax. Hope Street's got you covered. Every day, we're in contact with tons of corporate clients and families who are looking for great homes, just like yours. Hope Street, proudly named Canada's 2014 Property Management Firm of the Year by Canadian Real Estate Magazine. Call or visit us online today.
HopeStreet.ca.
For a great job? Snow Pros is one of Calgary's largest snow-only companies, and we're now hiring. Visit mysnowpros.com to apply and join our tight-knit team of snow removal professionals, or call 891-4-SNOW. Snow Pros offers competitive wages, salary options, health benefits, and bonuses, plus business activities too. If you have experience in commercial and industrial snow removal, or want to join a hard-working professional team, then contact Snow Pros at 891-4-SNOW or visit mysnowpros.com.
At Foothill Systems, we're not just a store selling shelving and racking. We solve storage problems. We pay attention to details like the sizes, shapes, and the weight of your stuff. We ask the right questions and plan according to you, so you can say,
"Wow, this made a difference to my business."
And we don't charge more. We just do more. So when storage at your business becomes a problem, solve it with Foothill Systems. Visit foothillsystems.ca. That's foothillsystems.ca.
Foothill Systems. Innovations for your space.
Mobile, magazine, TV, online, and on your radio. Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Listen like never before. Hockey Central at Noon continues only on Calgary's Hockey Station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It is the 20th anniversary season for the Calgary Hitmen. They kicked it off on Saturday, and we're live at Adrenaline Source for Sports. Building awareness for that a little bit later on today, between 4 and 6 o'clock. Some members of the Calgary Hitmen going to be live here, 9309 McLeod Trail South, at Adrenaline Source for Sports, signing some autographs, saying hi. You get an opportunity to meet some of your Calgary Hitmen, and that's going to be going on between 4 and 6 o'clock. Get some of them on the air for you as well as Calgary now gets set for their next game. They open the regular season Saturday with a 4-1 setback at home to the Red Deer Rebels. Friday, they're at home to the Medicine Hat Tigers, and very happy to welcome to the program the general manager of the Calgary Hitmen, Mike Moore. Hello, Morsey.
Hi, Pat. How are you? Long time no talk to you.
No kidding. It's good to hear from you again, my friend. And I guess for you, not the start you were looking for, and just your overall thoughts on Saturday night and what you saw from your squad.
Well, I think the opening and the fans and the atmosphere were terrific. The hockey, you know, we started all right and faded a little bit, but it's a learning process. We've got a lot of guys away at NHL camp still, and we got some young guys that have never played in a Western Hockey League regular season game that played on Saturday night. So literally throwing them into the fire, and the only way they're going to learn is to do that, and the only way we're going to see where they're at and where our hockey team's at is to get some of those young guys in and do some assessing.
Well, and that's kind of where I wanted to go with you, because from the outside, it seems like maybe the team could be in a bit of a holding pattern. You mentioned 8 regulars not in your lineup right now because they're at NHL camps. But do you approach it like a holding pattern, or can you really approach it like that?
Well, I think you approach it by, again, looking at the young guys and the guys that you think have a chance to play on a hockey club, not just now, but maybe in the future as well, and in the minutes that they might play and the role they might play. So they're getting fast-tracked a little bit in the early going here. But, you know, we have to remember, we were real excited in June when our guys got drafted and got the opportunity to go to, you know, NHL teams and now NHL camps. And we will be patient and wait for them to get back and kind of assess their team accordingly. But it's early in the season. We don't play a lot of games on the front end, which is a good thing, I guess, but the guys away, and we start expecting to see some guys coming back this week.
For you, knowing that might have been the case, like you knew you got a number of players drafted, you already had players drafted already, you knew that there was a possibility that this might happen. So how does that change your approach in how you build your team throughout the offseason?
Well, again, I think you give more young guys an opportunity and provide them the chance to play in minutes and play in situations that they might not otherwise when we get some guys back. We had 16-year-olds playing power play and penalty killing on Saturday night. And the good thing is that they showed some great signs, and we're not discouraged at all. We think the way the guys played, not just the 16s, but a number of the young guys and Shields and, you know, some leaders that we have on our hockey team, we thought stepped up and showed some good signs. So there were some encouraging signs to the game.
But does it change the players that you look at? Like, do you change kind of the criteria you're looking for because they might have to be fast-tracked early on?
Well, what I think it changes is you got 20 guys or 21 guys available to you to play, and that's all. So we don't have a lot of wiggle room as far as who we can put in and put out of the lineup. Does it change the way we develop our roster? I guess to a certain extent, we have to wait and see who we're getting back, and we have a pretty good idea who we think it'll be, but and then it's a trickle-down.
And right.
There'll be guys that are with our club right now that will end up in lower teams to develop for one more year before they come to us.
So what is your expectation in terms of who might be coming back, numbers that you might be seeing return from NHL camps?
Well, I think all of our guys that are not 20 should be back. But that being said, Jake Virtanen had shoulder surgery in May and will not play a game for Vancouver through the preseason. It'll depend on what they want to do with Jake. Travis Sanheim will play tonight against Washington. So, you know, it'll be his first action. And those teams will have to get a sense of where those players are at. But we sure think that the 19-year-olds and 18-year-olds will be back for another season. And the 20-year-olds with Tambellini and Helgeson, we'll wait and see what those two teams do with them as well.
How much are you paying attention to what they're doing at NHL camp, or are you just focused on your group and what's happening with the Hitmen?
No, we have to pay attention, Todd. It's you know, we're in contact with the NHL teams as much as we can be,
right,
and they're providing information to us as much as they can at this point in time. And case in point, with Pat Elfedakin last week, we had good discussions with the Flames, and fortunately we got Pat back on Friday so he could play on Saturday. And we're in constant conversation with those teams, because remember, we've got players in our team that we have to make sure we have conversations with their their potential teams to make sure that they have spots to play and don't get locked out. So it is a big-time trickle-down effect, and we're working up and down the ladder.
He is Mike Moore, the general manager of the Calgary Hitmen, joining us here on Hockey Central at noon. So on the roster right now, who are some of these players that really excite you and that might have a nice long future with this Hitmen team?
Well, I think Locke Morrison, who played some games with us last year, has had a real good game Saturday and has a real good preseason. Big, strong defenseman. A guy we sent back last year is a 16-year-old and will join us as a 17-year-old. Locke's had a terrific camp. Pavel Karnukov is a Belarusian that we drafted in the import draft. And again, had a real good preseason, scored some goals. Big, strong guy, skates well, still learning the language in the game and the culture over here. But those are two guys that kind of stand out right now as being real good young prospects for us.
When you talk about young players and getting this opportunity to be fast-tracked and play in power play time at the age of 16 or 17, I mean, what does that do in terms of their development? How does that help them as you know, you hope for them to be impact makers on this team in a couple of years' time?
Well, I think what it does is gives them some confidence and gives them an idea how fast the pace is. We go from training camp to the inter-squad game to preseason, then first regular season game goes up another notch yet. And as teams continue to get NHL guys back into their camp, that pace will continue to climb. So for them to get the opportunity to play those minutes early, get some confidence that they can play those minutes and get those experiences underneath them only helps in the future when they're called upon to do it again.
I know some of your leadership group not with the team right now, but there are still a pretty solid group of leaders. You know, Elliot Peterson's been with the team for a number of years, and Colby Harmsworth and a couple of other players that you can really count on and say, yeah, you know what, these guys are, you know, pretty important in our locker room. How happy are you with that leadership group that you've got even with the team right now?
Real happy, and the two guys you brought up, and Elliot and Colby, are just quality individuals. Play hard, have been real good through preseason and working with the young guys and directing them in the dressing room and lead by example. And the leadership, again, that always evolves in junior hockey because you're moving guys on at 19 and 20 years old, which we did with Riz last year as our captain, and you guys have to assume that leadership role, and guys that have been in the team and in the culture for a while, and Elliot is one of those guys, and so is Colby. And again, they've been terrific through this through the process since camp started a month ago.
Mike Moore is the GM of the Calgary Hitmen, joins us here on Hockey Central at noon. Well, one of your first really big moves as general manager was the coaching change. And Mark French, now the new head coach of the Calgary Hitmen, now you've seen him go through a training camp. Now you've seen him go through preseason games and a regular season game. Just how would you evaluate your new head coach and how the early stages of his tenure have gone?
I think he's been terrific. His work ethic is par none. He pays attention to detail. He's asking a lot of questions to try and obviously figure out guys and how we do things and where guys fit. But true leader and tremendous individual. And his approach, as I say, has just been wonderful through the first month here. And really looking forward to working with him through the season.
I know that he was on the morning show a little in the later stages of last week. But for those who aren't familiar with Mark French, what kind of coach is he? What kind of guy is he? And what can we expect from him?
Real down-to-earth guy, real good communicator. But at the same time, he knows what he wants and he knows what he expects out of his guys. And being a good communicator, he's able to translate that to them. And again, the detail, the opportunity, and the want to give young guys a chance to play and develop and work with them. And part of the process in junior hockey, of course, is developing your group and making them better as they move along through the years. And that makes your hockey team better. I mean, you see that already in Mark and just the way he handles the players and works with them one-on-one. And he's been a real, real good addition.
I would imagine that when that coaching vacancy became something, you know, you had quite a list of candidates and a lot of guys to choose from. What was it that, now looking back, separated Mark from what was probably a pretty impressive pack of candidates for you?
Yeah, you're right, Pat. There were some tremendous guys that could have easily been the coach of this hockey club. But what really separated Mark, again, was his approach. When I met with him in Toronto, I just got a real good sense and feel for who he was and what he stood for. And I was impressed right off the get-go. Did a fair amount of research on him. And looking back now, and the way we've worked together and the way, again, he communicates, I'm real excited with the decision and the fact that Mark is the head coach of the Calgary Hitmen.
With Mike Moore, he is the general manager of the Calgary Hitmen. Just a couple more for you, Morsey, and I guess you are as well aware of it as anybody else, probably more aware. But this maybe I'm breaking some news to you. Did you know that it's the 20th anniversary for your team?
Oh, really? Yeah, it's hard to believe 20 years has gone by that fast. And I go back to, I started here in 97. It was my first year at the Hitman, and I think that was year three or four. So it goes in a hurry, and it's amazing. There's a lot of tremendous history with the hockey club already, and we're hoping to make some more this year.
It's pretty amazing to think, hey, 20 years, two decades, and you've been around for quite a lot of it. I know that you kind of had a stint away from the team and then came back, but you've been around for a lot of these 20 years.
I've been around for a lot, but KISS has been around for most of them, and obviously the architect of many successful years, and a guy I still have the fortune and honor to work with daily. And looking back on, we had Ray Schultz, the first ever captain, who was on the ice on Saturday night of the Hitman, and had a chance to meet and talk with Ray after, and just some of the things that have gone on through the years and the successes we've had, and some of the challenges, but that's what junior hockey is about. And as I say, we like your hockey team this year, and we hope that it's a special 20-year-old year.
Any hints as to what else you might have planned for the coming year in your 20th anniversary, or is that kind of going to be rolled out here in proper fashion?
We've got a lot of exciting things to roll out, but with some real neat ones, and we'll roll those out as we move along and keep some of the secrets under wraps for now.
All right. We'll let you slide on that. Hey, Morrissey, good to talk to you again, man. And good luck this weekend. I know you got games on Friday and Sunday, both at the Scotiabank Saddledome. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend. We'll see you around the Dome as well.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Pat.
There's Mike Moore, the general manager of the Calgary Hitmen, joins us here on Hockey Central at noon. You know, I get really tired of hearing good things about Kelly Kisio. Kelly Kisio this, Kelly Kisio that. What has that guy ever done? There's one guy. I know he's probably listening. That's what I'm saying. If there's one guy who doesn't deserve these accolades, it's Kelly Kisio. No, obviously, knowing how long he's been around for these 20 years. And, Mike Moore's been around for a lot of them, too, in different capacities with the Hitmen. But Kelly Kisio is the guy who has been the mainstay, who's been, and in a lot of ways, he is the standard of a Western Hockey League executive. And I know that the Portland Winterhawks have had some really, really good runs, and they're, one of the standards of consistency right now. The Vancouver Giants have had some really extended periods of time of being very good, and some other teams as well. I think the Kelowna Rockets probably qualify in that same category. But for 20 years, the Calgary Hitmen, I mean, not all the 20 years. I mean, obviously, there were the dark days, and Josh took you through that in the pregame show on Saturday night, but we're talking about a decade and a half. 1999 was when they won that Western Hockey League championship. We're talking about a decade and a half of this team being the model of consistency in the Western Hockey League, and you don't do that without having a pretty competent guy at the top, and that's Kelly Kisio, who does, as much as I like to joke about it, who does deserve every single accolade that's thrown his way. So the Calgary Hitmen, not off to the start they were hoping for. They fell 4-1 at the hands of the Red Deer Rebels on Saturday. Their next game is Friday at the Scotiabank Saddledome. They'll take on the Medicine Hat Tigers as they'll try and even up their record on the year. Speaking of the Calgary Hitmen, we're live at Adrenaline Source for Sports, which is one of the big partners of the Calgary Hitmen throughout the season. And later on today here at Adrenaline, some members of the Calgary Hitmen going to be on hand between 4 and 6 o'clock. Come meet some members of your Hitmen, get some autographs and more. And that goes on between 4 and 6 o'clock here at 9309 McLeod Trail South. And just if you happen to wander in here and say hi to Rob, say hi to me, or whatever you want to do here at Adrenaline, they are full of Gold Line curling items now in stock, from sliders to grippers. They've got, this is kind of cool, they've got the exclusive NHL-themed brooms for curling as well. We talk about this place as your one-stop hockey shop, but everything you need for ringette, huge selection of sticks, pants, girdles, skates for all ages, and no doubt about it, the hockey stock is untouched. Huge selection of recently launched Power Supreme MX3 sticks, huge discounts on selected skate sticks and protective equipment. Don't miss out on some of these great deals right now, all here at Adrenaline Source for Sports, 9309 McLeod Trail South. Usually we're here towards the end of the week on a Thursday or Friday. What a way to kick off the week on a Monday. We're happy to be here. And next up, we'll continue along with Hockey Central at noon by reading some of your texts. The question of the day, realistic expectations for Sean Monahan. We'll hear from you around the corner as we continue on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
We are with Calgary sports fans through thick and thin. Here's hoping we have more thick than thin coming our way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is Calgary's home for the Flames in the National Hockey League. Weekdays on the drive home, Rob Kerr has 60 minutes of must-hear radio 5 to 6 p.m. Get the inside stuff from Rob Kerr and the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, and other special guests. Find out what is up with the Flames and the NHL. Sportsnet 960's Inside Hockey is for Calgary Co-op. Fill up at Co-op gas bars and receive revved-up reward coupons redeemable for game day snacks from Co-op. Inside Hockey on the Flames at 5, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The BMW Ultimate Performance Event is on now.
So come in and find the best selection of 2014 BMW 3 Series models while they last.
With pure performance and unparalleled precision.
The BMW 3 Series will make any drive an exhilarating one, but you better move fast.
Because with lease and finance rates from 0.9% and up to $1,500 in 2014 model year credits,
your dream 3 Series could become someone else's.
Offers end September 30th. Visit your BMW retailer today for details.
The Porsche Cayman is for the person whose love of driving is the most important factor. And now you can lease the finest light sports car in the market today for just 3.9% or finance up to 60 months. See Porsche Center Calgary for details. Porsche Cayman, starting from $59,900 plus taxes and fees.
The game-changing Canon EOS 70D DSLR is now at Memory Express. This powerhouse camera features the revolutionary dual-pixel CMOS autofocus system, a touchscreen LCD, and a Digic 5 Plus processor to make taking crisp, perfectly lit pictures and movies easy. Plus, the Canon EOS 70D's built-in Wi-Fi transfers directly. Get your Canon EOS 70D today at 3 Calgary locations or memoryexpress.com.
Memory Express.
What's winning like?
Going, going, go!
Easy daily banking with great customer service and mobile access 24/7.
Takes first!
Low interest rates on loans and mortgages. And experienced wealth management and business banking advisors. Yeah, winning sure sounds good.
When you bank with Mountain View Credit Union, you're an owner, too. And owners win.
Yeah!
Join today and get perks like profit sharing, low rates, and great customer service from owners just like you. Visit your local Mountain View Credit Union or mvcu.ca today.
There's a drive that defines people on the prairies. No matter what the challenge, we don't back down. And we always come out stronger than we went in. Toyota's proud to be a part of this spirit because after 50 years in the prairies, we've come a long way, too. And while, yeah, it's great to look back at where we've come from, it's where we're headed that really gets us going. Where will your road take you? Get started with up to $7,000 off select 2014s at your Prairie Toyota dealer.
This is a friendly reminder to all potential owners of the 2014 RAV4 in the prairies.
RAV4 ownership may result in jealousy, envy, and irritation in friends, coworkers, people at the gym, that weird couple that camps across from you at the lake, and other random strangers. Avoid excessive excitement, exuberance, and exhilaration when discussing topics such as its enhanced fuel efficiency, class-leading cargo space, or how truly spectacular your life has become with the 2014 RAV4. Now available with finance rates as low as 0.9% at your Prairie Toyota dealer.
At BBM Canada, we've spent the last 70 years helping Canadians make their radio better. We achieve this by giving listeners the chance to tell us what they're listening to. And now BBM Canada has an exciting new name, Numeris. So when we call you at home or on mobile, say yes to being a part of our survey, and you will be shaping the future of radio and television. Visit numeris.ca to learn more. Numeris. Audiences count.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan, proud home of one Rhett Warner, number 44 in your program, number one in the mornings with Boomer. Calgary, you asked for it, and now it's here. Rhettism T-shirts. Custom T-shirts with some great quotes from Retro. Very cool design. Best part is, it's a fundraiser for Kidsport Calgary. Head to our website to order yours today, sportsnet.ca/960. Why not get two or four or however many you want? Rhettism T-shirts from Dice Hockey Apparel and Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The best insiders. The breaking sports news when it happens. Tons of play-by-play. Calgary, this is your sports radio. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. This is Hockey Central at Noon with Pat Steinberg on your home of the Flames and the NHL. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
From Adrenaline Source for Sports, we continue along in your Monday afternoon. Pat Steinberg along with you. And our question of the day today relating to Sean Monahan. Bob Hartley addressed that at practice today. We will hear from Bob a little bit later on in the program. But I asked, what are realistic expectations for Sean Monahan this year? Peter Labardius and I discussed it earlier in the program. For me, and I don't say this in a bad way, I think that we might see some of Monahan's goal totals go down slightly. I don't think we're going to see him drop from 22 to 11. But to see the goal totals drop a little bit, I think that there's a potential that could happen. However, I also think there's just as much or more potential for the other side of that to go up and to see his assist totals rise pretty significantly from 12 to something that, you know, if he were to go from 12 to 24 or more assists, that would not be a surprise whatsoever. I think his all-round game in the way he plays, you know, we see the overall point totals go up even if the goal totals go down. And I believe that even if that's the case, he still is going to be a more impactful player this year. He's going to impact the game in more different ways. He's going to be more of a 200-foot player, and that's a good thing even if the goal totals go down. And I talked about the shooting percentage is part of the reason why I think that maybe those goal totals would go down, because look, he shot more than 6% higher than the NHL average shooting percentage last year. And there are plenty of players in this league, or not plenty, but there are players in this league, the good players in this league, who do shoot higher over their career than the NHL average, but not 6.5% higher. So I do think that we'll see some regression this season when it comes to that, but that's okay because A, I think he'll end up with more assists, and B, I think that he'll be generating more scoring opportunities, so it's not going to be a massive drop in his goal total. So some of the techs, Pat, forget about your shooting percentage with Monahan. He only took 140 shots last year. If he ups that to 170, he's going to score 22 to 25 again, no doubt. Well, if he ups his shot totals to 170 and his shooting total comes down, his shooting percentage comes down, he's more in the 16, 17, 18 range, which is kind of where I see him. From JP, says he'll be playing against tougher lines if he's the number one center, but he'll have better line mates. 20 goals and 50 points is my goal for him for the year. This one says, expect Flames team totals as well as player totals to be down this year, as they will not surprise anyone. This one says from Michael, more ice time, more power play time. I think he could do 20 goals and 30 assists for 50 points. If Monahan keeps a 20-goal total but improves his plus-minus totals, then I think it'll show that he kept on an offensive attack, but he's more responsible defensively. He'll have all the chances in the world to be Calgary's number one center, so being defensively responsible will be at a premium. This one from Ken. Pat, I believe Sean Monahan's capable of 22 goals and 26 assists. And again, we're putting, we don't necessarily need finite totals or anything like that, but it's just an interesting conversation. Pat, I think he'll score 20 goals. I expect players to get better, not with it, not that it's better than last year, but he should have more confidence with the coming year, even after what he did last night. Michael says 20 goals and 30 assists would be an ideal sophomore year. I do think, this one says, I do think it's unreasonable for Monahan to have a 30-goal, 30-assist season. He should be the first-line center and get power play opportunities as well. Add in the playmaking ability of Gaudreau and Monahan could exceed expectations. I don't think it's unreasonable. It says I do. I think he meant I don't think it's unreasonable for Monahan to have 30 goals and 60 points. See, I think that's a really, really big leap. To see him score more than 22 this year would be a surprise. It would be a very, very good surprise, don't get me wrong. I mean, if he were to see his shooting total go up and if he were to score more because he got more shots, nobody's going to complain. I'm not going to complain. I'm just thinking about it kind of from an analytical and realistic standpoint. This one from Tegan says, Pat, I'd be pumped if Monahan could keep close to the same point totals, but his two-way game got stronger. And that's a good point. Say Monahan ends up with 34 points once again. Say his point totals are identical to what they were last year, but his overall two-way game gets better. That's not a bad thing either. I mean, there's nothing to say that doesn't make him a more impactful player. Because again, I think what I'm looking for and what I believe is going to happen with Monahan this year is that he is more of an impact maker and makes an impact at different areas and more areas of the ice. I think that he just becomes a more 200-foot player, and these are good things if you're the Calgary Flames. We can continue taking those texts at 960-960. After 1 o'clock, Bob Hartley, the head coach of the Flames, going to give us some updates injury-wise, because I mean, I don't know if it's worrying injury news, but some good news when it comes to Sam Bennett and Devin Setoguchi, it sounds like, and maybe some more I don't know, ominous news when it comes to the status of Michael Backlund. So we'll get to that as we move on through the 1 o'clock hour as well. TJ Brody scored the only goal in the Flames 1-0 win at home to the Edmonton Oilers last night. It came in the 2:06 mark of the second period on the power play. And here's what I know about TJ Brody. TJ Brody is one heck of a defenseman, and he is, I believe, going to have another strong season. I believe he's going to have a step forward season, all of that. But the one question I have, because I don't really have very many questions about what TJ Brody is or who he's going to be or anything like that. The only question I have right now about TJ Brody is, what are his offensive totals going to look like throughout his NHL career? Is TJ Brody going to be the type of player that ends up with, you know, closer to, because I believe right now the way he plays in his own zone, the way he skates, the way he moves the puck, the way he's able to shut down top players, I think it puts him pretty close to, you know, some of the better guys in this league. I think he's knocking on the door of being a premier defenseman in this league. But those offensive totals are the only thing I wonder about. Scored a really nice goal last night, right off the puck, right off the point, heck of a shot, and Victor Foss didn't have much chance on it at all. But do those point totals increase? He's never really been a big point producer at any level. I mean, he had some decent years in the Ontario Hockey League, don't get me wrong, but that's never really been the type of guy I've seen Brody as. However, all he's ever done is continue to get better. All he's ever done is show us and surprise us and exceed expectations. So if that were to happen once again, wouldn't be a surprise. Last night, Mark Giordano, the captain of the Flames and Brody's defense partner, was asked about those offensive totals for Brody and maybe what he could see for the coming season.
He's been there his whole career, I think. You know, last year 30 points from the back end is a pretty good year for any D-man, so the upside's there, but I think he can definitely take some more opportunities to fire that puck, and tonight he was doing a lot more, which is nice to see.
Well, and I don't know if there's any problem if Brody starts to fire it a little bit more and starts to take more offensive initiative, and that might be it right there. It might just come with confidence, because I do think the ability's there. I think that he has really good vision. He finds open space really well, but maybe it's just as his confidence grows and grows and grows, maybe so does the confidence for him to fire the puck. Maybe so does the confidence for him to make not just the simple smart play. Not saying that the simple smart play is wrong, but maybe he takes a little bit more risk on a power play. Maybe he decides to fire a puck through traffic. He's got a really, really nice shot when it comes to getting it low along the ice and through traffic, but we don't always see it. Sometimes he elects to pass, and sometimes he elects to put it deep and that type of stuff, which is fine. It ends up helping the Flames along with what they're trying to do. I'm just curious, as he grows more and more confident, and you can tell that he is growing more and more confident every passing game, every single season, if maybe that picks up as well. So I know what TJ Brody is in basically every other facet of his game. The one question I have, and this is not a bad thing, this is not a derogatory thing, but the one question I have is, what is he as an offensive defenseman? What is he as an offensive producer off the blue line? And that's something that I think we're going to find out over the next couple of years. So lots more still to come as Hockey at Central wraps up.